Today, Holy Mother the Church, we begin what we call the transitional period into Lent, into the Lenten season. And this begins today with Septuagesima Sunday. And it marks that three-week transitional period to the start of Lent after the joys of Christmas. So basically, we're entering into a time of preparation. It's a time to examine ourselves and ask this main question, which we should ask ourselves. Am I willing to put in the effort to grow in holiness? That's the question we should ask ourselves as we enter into this transitional time. And that question, am I willing to put in the effort required to grow in holiness? That's a yes or no question. There's no middle ground in that question. If we think we're going to find middle ground, we're in effect saying no. The season, it calls us to reflect on our priorities. We should reflect, is there anything in my life that I am attached to that pulls me away from God? Is there something that takes up that limited space in my heart? And if that thing happens to be something sinful that's taking that place in our heart, let us not fall into that trap of thinking that it's a noble thing, a noble sacrifice to give up sin. What do I mean by that? Well, sometimes I think in our fallen human nature state of mind, we tend to think that almost that sin has a right, and therefore that it's a sacrifice for us to give it up, as if the sin itself has rights. It does not. We're not entitled to sin. It's not a matter of simply giving it up. It's a matter of rejecting it altogether for love of God, and that's what we're called to do. We see today in this topic, it's reflected to us in both the epistle and the gospel. St. Paul, he's speaking to the Corinthians in this epistle. The Corinthians, they have Greek culture. So he's speaking to them in some things that they would understand, imagery that the Corinthians, with their Greek culture, that would really resonate well with them. And so he says that line that we're all familiar with, I fight as not as one beating the air, but I chastise my body and bring it into subjection. So St. Paul, he's not using vague metaphors. These are things that the Greeks knew very well. In fact, in the Greek, that verse makes a lot more sense than it does in English, because those words are more specific, and they apply specifically to what we call boxing. St. Paul, he's basically saying that he's not shadow boxing, as in just punching the air or striking without a purpose. No, he's very specific. He's saying he's going for what we also call, and we know, as the knockout punch. The Greeks had a word for this, and that's what he's using. He's saying he chastised the body and he beats it into subjection. It's obviously a metaphor. He's not physically doing this. It's a metaphor for the spiritual life. But that shows to us the intensity that we have to work towards our salvation. And it ties into that the knockout punch is a pressure point on the temple, basically. And when it's hit, it's so effective at it causes what we know as the knockout punch. It's the pressure point. The nerve is right there. So when it's hit with that amount of pressure, the person goes unconscious. And that's the whole point of the Greeks and their Olympic games. They did a lot of running and they would do wrestling and things like that. So St. Paul, he's playing on these things. That phrase also, I bring it into subjection. That in the Greek makes more sense. That's like in wrestling, the tap out. That's what they're wrestling to pin the other person to the ground. St. Paul is saying that's what he's doing with his fallen human nature. He's wrestling with it. He's not wrestling an opponent of another person. He's wrestling himself. He's fighting against his own passions, his own weaknesses, his fallen inclinations. And that's the battle that we face, but sometimes we forget that we have to fight with a lot of effort. You can't get into the ring and expect to win if you don't fight back. And that's what St. Paul's saying. He's saying that it takes effort. It takes a level of intensity that we dismiss a lot of the time. And that ties into the gospel, because the gospel is about work. That's what's presented to us. It's the parable that we're familiar with of the laborers and the vineyard. The laborers, they obviously represent us. We are invited to work in the vineyard. The vineyard is this world. The householder is God. The house is heaven. The reward that he gives is heaven. And some, we see in the gospel, are called early in the day. Some are called later in the day. And we think of that, a good example of that is the good thief on the cross. He's called at the last hour of the day to work in the field. But we see that the householder gives all the same reward. And that can be confusing. And it can also seem like a contradiction, because there is two things going on here, and they're both true. But we have to understand them properly. There is, of course, in heaven, varying degrees of glory. That is for sure. That there are different levels of people that love God more, they receive more glory. Like our Blessed Mother receives the highest. So that's not necessarily the meaning of the gospel, that everybody receives the same reward. The reward is strictly heaven, achieving heaven. But there are varying degrees in holiness, of course. So that's not the full message. There's something else here that we might be missing. The key to understanding this gospel is based upon the fact that the householder gives freely. He's the one who gives freely. It's not about necessarily the person who's working. The person who's working, the laborer in the vineyard, God gives him the ability to work in that vineyard. You can see where this is going. That's the major lesson, that God is the distributor of all the graces. He allows the laborer to even work in the vineyard in the first place. And he sustains that laborer in their work. He holds them in existence. He gives them those graces continually. So I say this is the first point with regard to this, that we must not compare the graces that we have received to anyone else. We are a completely different person. We have a different soul. And we are given different things in varying degrees. So there's absolutely no reason for us to compare what we've been given, or the time that we're working, or the intensity that we're working, with anybody else, because it simply doesn't matter. It's not our job to try to analyze the amount of grace that God gives to each person. All we have to focus on is ourselves. And so that's the first point of the gospel, I'd say, is don't compare yourself to other people, because God, the householder, he's the distributor of graces. And this ties into the second point, that some people are given more, some people are given less, some people have to work longer, some people don't have to work quite as long. Some people have to work a short time, but it's very intense. Some people have to work a long time, but their intensity is not as much. And this all depends on God's will for us and what he knows is best for us. And that's constantly in our mind. We're always trying to figure out, why is this happening in my life? Why do I have to do this? Why do I have to struggle and do this? That we're constantly doing that because of our fallen human nature. We have to fight that. We have to just submit to those things that we recognize as crosses in our life, because it all depends on God's will. He, once again, is the householder. He's the distributor of the grace. We merely accept it. That doesn't put away and put to the side the fact that we have to work. These two things are connected, but we have to remember their proper order. God allows us to work. It's not just us welling up this motivation within ourselves to work and then we become holy. That's not how it works. God gives us those graces and we correspond and cooperate with them. That is our job. And so I say this is the major second point of the gospel, understanding the connection between work, intensity, and how different people are called to work at different times, and some people don't have to work as much and some less for their salvation. That's because it's not about the time. Remember, God exists outside of time. Grace doesn't operate in the world of time in which we think about. Grace is a supernatural thing. It's a free gift from God. So what matters is not necessarily the amount of time. Necessarily, we say, obviously we're never justified in putting off doing the right thing right now. That's never the solution. But it's not calculated based upon time. It's calculated based on intensity. Our devotion to God, our love of God, our amount of work that we put in. But also, it could, because the amount of work, if we keep a very diligent amount of work for love of God, and we carry that out for a long, long time, many years, that equals a great intensity. So it's not one or the other. Both are connected, but they're not mutually exclusive. That is how we are to understand this gospel. And that's what we have to focus on, is when we recognize that we are called to achieve sanctity, not just live a good life and try, kind of, like St. Paul is saying in the epistle. No, we have to strive with a purpose to achieve holiness. We have to absolutely fight to obtain the crown. We have to run the race so as to win it. That's what St. Paul is saying. That's the intensity. So we have to reflect on when we begin initially, we give ourselves fully when we recognize the call, when we recognize the offer to work in the vineyard, we work. We don't put it off. We don't make excuses. We don't seek after a comfortable life. That's not why we're here. I think we also have to reflect on why we work. Why do we do our spiritual exercises? Why do we mortify ourselves? Why do we do these things? We have to, before we get into Lent and we start off on this transitional period of time in between Christmas and Lent, we have to reflect on why we do these things. Why do we come to Mass? Why do we pray? Why do we mortify ourselves? The perfect motive is love of God. The imperfect motive is just for my self-betterment. So we want to shoot for that higher motive, love of God. I do this because I love God. Obviously, that's the ideal. Sometimes we have a fallen human nature and we don't achieve that perfect ideal all the time, but that's what we want to strive for. Not just doing it for our self-betterment, but doing it out of love for God. And that is how we avoid the lukewarm attitude. That's how we avoid that St. Paul's imagery of the person who doesn't try. They're obviously not going to win. It has to do with that effort. There's a true element to that. In the gospel, it ends by those very sobering words that our Lord says, many are called, few are chosen. And that really drives the whole point home. Many are called, few are chosen. God gives us all the necessary graces we need to save our souls. He gives that to everybody. Everybody has necessary, sufficient grace to save their souls, to live a good life, to love God. But as we see, and this is given to us, these Old Testament references that showed out of all mankind, only Noah and his family were saved from the flood. When Israel left Egypt, an entire generation perished in the desert. Only a handful of people entered the promised land. Those are examples, true events, but also examples that perfectly resemble our day-to-day existence. Few really take it to heart and few really try. Few put in the work. Few put in the effort. few recognize that it is God who works through them, and then they cooperate with those graces. Because the call is a universal call. It's not Calvinism from the 1500s where God destines us to either goodness or to hell. That is a heresy from the 1500s. No, God gives us sufficient grace to save our souls, every person. And if someone does not achieve that, it's no fault of God. God is not the cause of evil. It is man. It is our attachment to self, our selfishness. So as we begin this transitional period towards Lent, let these things resonate in our minds, get us prepared these 3 weeks here before Lent. And let us start focusing on the fact that our Catholic life is not a passive existence, it's an active thing. We have to put in the work. But at the same time, we have to reflect that it is God who allows us to work. It is God who ordains how much work we are to do, when we are to do it, and the reward that we will receive when we achieve that work. So as we begin this pre-Lenten season, let us take up the challenge. Let us train ourselves in virtue. Let us endure the trials of life willingly and suffer them with a continued perseverance. And let us labor in the vineyard of our Lord with all our strength. All indeed run, but one receives the prize. All ate the same spiritual food, yet with most of them, God was not well pleased. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.